That wonderful music was Shadow Dance by Shadow Facts. And we're going to be talking about our shadow in a roundabout way today. Thank you for joining us. This is BBS Radio. The show is Sound Health. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for the next hour. We all love BBS Radio. It's the voice of the people where we get to tell it like it is. And on this particular show, we attempt to bring you ideas and information in support of self-health, in support of creating a space for you to be the best you can be, whatever you choose that optimal self to be. So today on the show, we have with us Dr. Valerie Hunt from the Bioenergy Fields Foundation. She has spent over half a century studying the energy fields of the body. And the wonderful thing about her, she's paved the way for the rest of us who are attempting to study the energy patterns of the body. You know, that point person gets hit a lot. So she's been with us a long time, and we're going to hear from her just after these brief announcements. Okay, one, as most of you know, this show is sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to the study of frequency and sound and its effect on living systems. Our primary project right now is working with the Army on traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't support this war, but I certainly support the troops who are fighting it. I think war is disgusting. I guess I should add that. And barbaric. And you would think by now that us humans would have learned to get along a little better, but enough of that soapbox. Our project that we're dealing with is taking a vocal print to measure degrees of traumatic brain injury through the voice while these troops are in a field conditions, battlefield conditions, so that we can create a non-invasive vocal profiling protocol to tell whether or not they've been damaged from those soldiers who have been exposed to close proximity bomb blasts. We're developing a program in such a way that it can be used by communities and families and veterans organizations to help even the returning soldiers when they get back, not just in the battlefield conditions. So if you're interested in our free computer program, you know, I am ecstatic that there's been over 8,000 downloads so far of that free computer program. A free instruction booklet and free classes, please write to me at radio@vocalprofiling.com, or you can check out our website at Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, Sounds, that's plural, NutraSounds.com. Lots of free videos there, lots of articles and information. We also have one last announcement about our latest video. Actually, it's a two-volume set, Breaking the Sound Barriers of Disease and Miracles of Non-Medicine. It talks about our work in terms of bringing about a frequency-based paradigm of new medicine and how to get involved in that. And if you're interested in that kind of work and want to take our advanced classes, don't let this economy keep you away. We'll try hard to work something out so that you can get involved, because we're really looking for instructors who can help bring this information to the community. So Nutra Sound, N-U-T-R-A, sounds.com, or you can call us at 740-698-9119, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Or like I said, just write to me at radio@vocalprofiling.com. And for those of you who have written, aren't you surprised that we're sending you back a gift? I think that's kind of neat. We'd love to have you join us for some of our new research classes, in that we're doing new projects on the frequencies of fractal geometry and how to target specific organs using frequency formulation. So if you're interested in that. Okay, on with the show. Today on Sound Health, we have a legend and a pioneer of energy medicine with us, Dr. Valerie Hunt. She has degrees in psychology and physiology. She's the author of a new book called Uncorking Your Conscious Mind. You know, and just like that title, Uncorking, that's such a friendly title. The book is very beautiful, very graceful, very easily read, chock full of information. She's going to tell us about it. Also about her extensive history. She has lots of accomplishments, books, papers, CDs, and opinions, all based on energy research. And we're going to talk to her about the human bioenergy field. I'm very honored to be listed with her in Larry Treveri's book, Health on the Edge, which is a book about visionary views of healing in the new millennium. Got 5 stars from Amazon, and there's an entire chapter on Dr. Hunt's book and how we can improve our present wellness in our, can't call it health care because I just think it's disease care. But there's my soapbox again. I am very honored that Dr. Hunt would take this time out of her busy schedule to be on the show today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hunt.
Hi, Sherry. Nice to be with you.
You have tons to say, but we're going to have to start at the beginning. Just, you have lots of books, and I have all of them. Well, I think I do. But how and why did you get interested in doing research on the human bioenergy field, and really, what is that? What does that mean?
Let me tell you first, Sherry, a little bit about the book, because this ties in with all the kinds of things I'm going to talk about. This is a book that empowers you exactly like you empower people through the voice. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's empowering. It's to help you uncover your greatness, to love joyfully and live joyfully, and to experience the world in a more complete consciousness. Now, I'm going to talk about that. To experience the world with more complete consciousness.
I think
this means
you've got to
be aware of the goodness and the badness. The badness only stimulates you. It doesn't upset you. And it is a book to help you understand not just intellectually who you are, but emotionally who you are. And in this book, I try to help you free the most important part of you, which is your emotions that determine your will and what you do in the world. To free these so that you can live the fullness of being exciting human being. It's a how you do it book, but a how you do it book on a deep level in which you are the master. You don't have another guru. You become your own guru. Does that help you, Sherry, in knowing what I'm doing?
It does. Why do you think people are so hungry for this kind of book now?
Well, it's a fun book, too, because it's written in conversational style. It's written with many emotional experiences which I've had around the world as I traveled before I came back and put my information to scientific test. So, let's go on with what I wanted to talk about tonight. You and I talked earlier this afternoon.
So
you both have nasty throats because of some infection.
Yes, we're both hacking and coughing.
But nonetheless, I'll work through it. I want to talk to you about
okay, we're having a little bit of trouble with phone lines. We're going to go on and talk a bit about energy fields till Dr. Hunt gets back with us. It's one of the things that we deal with at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We do it through voice, and Dr. Hunt measures the field. She has a machine, an aura meter, that she measures the field scientifically around the body. She's been doing this for years, written lots and lots of scientific papers about the bioenergy field. She has a wonderful website with lots of articles and information on it. It's www.bioenergyfields, that is plural, bioenergyfields.org. And her picture's up there, and you'll get to see her. She's gorgeous and vivacious, and she probably won't mind if I let you know she's 92 years old and an absolute delight to talk to. Dr. Hunt, are you back with us yet?
I'm back with you now, honey.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the floor, and you can do what you want to do and tell people anything you want.
Thanks, sweetie. want to talk to you about something that seems kind of heavy, but you know it's really not. It's called, what is a bioenergy field? Now, fields are information that is put into frequency domain, and it isn't materially real like a house or like a pen. It's an energy that is organized, that has information, and radio and television, and all these things that are sent across space are organized energy that has information. A thought. We can't find it. We can't put our finger on it. We can write it, but it is organized energy, and we experience thoughts personally, and we transfer thoughts. And so I'm going to talk about bioenergy as a field of information that each one of us has, and I'll tell you how we get it. Every single object that occupies space, such as a human, is made up of atoms. And atoms have energy. And that energy is on the inside, and it radiates to the outside, and it creates an aura around the feet, around the body, or around every single thing. A rock has an aura. A piece of pottery has an aura. A pen has an aura. Plastic even has aura. It's not very big, but it's there. So the energy field is like this radiating energy that's attached to something. From the body, it's attached to us. And we've gotten it two ways. The atoms in the body, which operate, which create our metabolism, which constitute our life, are always creating energy. And that energy makes life happen. And some of it radiates to the outside of the body, and it hangs around. And the reason it doesn't go flying off in space is because if you know anything about ions, there's a negative ion and a positive ion, and they're buddies. The negative has to have a positive, make an atom. And so the surface of the body is positive, and the energy coming out of the body is negative. And the two hang there together, and so this field radiates, and in living things, it gets bigger, it gets more dynamic, sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's huge. You get excited about something, the energy from that inside comes to the outside, and you radiate. If you're in love, you radiate a certain kind of a field. And if you're angry, you radiate another kind of field. And so, it hangs around the body. Now, isn't that good? Because this is the screening device for every piece of information your body gets that we call our senses and our perceptions. Do you ever realize that you can't smell anything except smelling it through your field? You realize you can't hear anything? No sound from the outside gets to the sensory nerve endings or gets to your ears without going through your field. You can't taste anything without having it go through the field. You have to put that substance in your system or taste the field. So this is the screening device. Everything that comes into your body that you pay attention to. It becomes individual for each one of us. It becomes patterned. For those things, which will do two things for us. Save our life, embellish it, and make us happy. Two things are programmed into this. Those things which threaten our life, the field will not transact with, not react with. And those things which we love and are beautiful, we embellish. For example, if we love sunsets, that sunset will come into our field and will color it and will give us information we've never had. Think about the kind of music you like. You like all kinds of music? Is it screened in your field of what your soul likes? And it's also screened at what protects you. Well, What does a screening? What makes us so unique and individual in our energy pattern as we are in our bioacoustic pattern? It's called human emotions. And most of us talk about them as though they're bad. We try to run away from them or control them. I want you to know we want to be able to live with them, because this is what determines what we do. If I talked to you and I said, what do you will to do the most? Where do you put your energy? It will be based upon emotion. Emotion determines where our energy goes and our will to do that. So it's individually developed. And with some of us, it's magnificent. And it's very broad. And with others of us, it has problems. But this is the place where we have the relationship to the world. It's not through our senses. It's through our field first and then our senses. And so we have the field discriminates. It's not like a rock. It's not like water. It's living. All living things discriminate, become unique, become individual. Let me give you an example here to make it really just simple. If you hold a rock in your hand and you turn your hand upside down and let it go, that rock is going to fall to the earth. And that's called a reaction. There are certain things that this field of ours reacts to. If the noise is too loud, we will startle or scream. So this is purely a reaction to it. We're not really involved. It's just as spontaneous. And then there's a way in which we interact. And take, for example, if we put oxygen and hydrogen together, we get water. That's an interaction. When we have our friend and we go play with them, we're interacting with them and their feelings, and their field, and their energies. And then we have the big one, which is the human decision. And this is called a transaction. Have you ever been in a situation that you didn't want to stay there? You didn't want to transact with? I have these all the time when I go to conferences. The field is so chaotic. And everybody's after everything, and everybody brings their problems to be solved. And this is one where I don't want to transact with, which means I don't want to play games with that field. And I have within my field the capacity not to transact with that field. Then there are things that I love that I can transact with. And there are things that I can transact with for a little while and then I don't like. So this has to do with patterns. I call it signature of the energy field. And Sherry has signature of the bioacoustic field. And this means we have patterns of things that are in our field. Now I want to talk about these patterns, and I want you to think about yourself now. Because I'm not criticizing you, I'm just saying, you know, we're human. And I say to you, how broad is your field? By that I mean, how broad are your frequencies that you can transact with? Let me give you an example. You hear the smallest sound of a bird. You smell the finest scents of a flower before you have to stick your nose in the middle of it. You feel things happening in your body that are not disease, but something's not working so good. So that you go to your physician or a diagnostician of some kind before you get sick. When you take something or change your pattern, do you do these things? This has to do with the lower aspects of the vibrations you are able to handle. You know, most people in our culture now forget these. The primitive people, who lived on the earth were so sensitive to the winds. They knew they didn't have to have a weatherman to tell them what was going to change. They were sensitive. We've lost these. But unfortunately, as we lose these, we lose some of the greatness of being a human in the world today.
I think this idea has been right under people's noses, but they haven't paid attention. When you look at any picture of Christ, you see this light around Christ. I think they were trying to bring that image forward, that there really is a light and an energy pattern there, and somewhere we forgot it.
Well, I'm not talking about specifically the light, honey, because that's part of it. I'm talking about the low-frequency vibrations that remind us of the most basic part of the world. And this is the most basic part of our physiology. When you bring in your low vibrations, and I know you do it, it's very important. This is the healing of tissue. Tissue in the body, not organs, not neural system, not brain, but tissues. These ordinary cells react to low vibrations. This is more magnetic than it is electrical, and it is primitive in the sense. And that is one aspect of the breath. Now, let me go to the next one. The next one is, I ask you, can you experience that? Do you transact with that? The next one has to do with ordinary, what I call ordinary consciousness or ordinary emphases, in which you're problem solving. And these are middle vibrations. They're not the high ones, they're not the low ones, they're middle vibrations. And this is where we live most of the day. It has to do with the ordinary things we touch, we feel, we see, we smell. Not the small things. Not the big things, but the ordinary things. We spend most of our life in this ordinary state of emphasis. And then there are the higher states of emphasis, which is spiritual. We go into what's called, we call maybe a mild altered state, but it's not altered. And this is a level of consciousness in which we become philosophers. And we have more spiritual experiences. And we're not just smelling the flowers, and we're not just solving the problems. We're hypothesizing about them. We're being mystical.
But you've done research to prove they exist.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, I have proved they exist. And when people get to certain levels of vibration in frequency, honey, you will go into this state of consciousness, and it is normal. You will think about spiritual things. You will think about heavenly things, even though you may come from different religions. And then, let's go beyond that. You come to what I call cosmic consciousness. And cosmic consciousness is one where your vibrations go so high that you're in the cosmos. You're aware of the planets. You're aware of the etheric. And I hope you're not lost in it. I hope you have all of the other levels of consciousness to keep you grounded, to let you realize that you're one with all things, to let you be telepathic. These are what I say, the pattern of the signature. Do you have this breadth? Then I ask, where's your emphasis? Which one of these do you gravitate to the most? Which one are you weakest in? Then I ask another question about your signature. Are you dynamic? Are you able to change rapidly?
You're saying, too, that this does not come from your mind. It comes from every cell, every atom.
This it comes from the field, sweetheart.
That's where it's generated from.
It comes from the transaction in the field.
Okay.
It comes not from the atoms. The atoms come from the outside, and the other is the information from the atoms from the inside, and the other is the information from the outside. And in the field, we have the transaction. And this becomes patterned. You got it? And the things that are most pattern and most important for us. What I'm saying is, I hope you have that complete breadth of frequencies. You would hear it, Sherry. You would know about it. in the complete range of the frequencies of the human voice, because you're looking at the same kind of thing. Then I will ask another one. Are you dynamic or are you rigid?
Dynamic or what?
Rigid. Rigid.
Rigid. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Are you? I'm having somewhat time hearing you.
I will try to speak up.
You speak up. Can you hear me now?
Just a little bit. Dynamic and rigid.
Beg your pardon?
We were talking about dynamic and rigid.
Dynamic and rigid. The dynamic is a changeable one. Now, I don't want you constantly changing, because then I don't know who you are. But are you dynamic? Can you change in a matter of seconds or a matter of minutes if something new comes into you that you need to pay attention to? Or are you rigid? You're always the same way. Now, rigidity is comfortable in some respects. It's not dynamic, and you don't live a very rich life. Are you with me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. And then I want to know if it's coherent, if your feel is coherent or anti-coherent. Coherent means the energy flows from the lowest frequencies to the highest frequencies, and it is a flow that goes and comes and is not rigid and doesn't have blocks. It can go. When I come into my office sometimes, my staff said, "Well, what mood are you in today?" And I said, "I'm in the mood I'm in today, and I'll be changing 5 or 6 times during the day." But the mood means I change my frequencies. You follow?
Yes.
I change my emphasis. I change my will. And I get an awful lot done. Now, I've described levels of consciousness and levels of vibrations. And the field, remember, is the dynamic thing which I call the mind. I call it mind field, because the mind is what handles the transactions in the world. It's not in the brain. I have proven it. I have seen that the field changes. The person even responds before the astral information gets to the brain. You've done that by brain scans. And so it's in the mind. This is a dynamic part. And this is the part I want everyone to have a free flow. I want to change, and certainly, Sherry, in your work, you're working with this mind. You know this. You're talking about the fact that you work to change the vibrations to bring health to the person. You're bringing health to the mind. You can't get health without coming through the mind. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And you are involved with emotion. I've read some of your things, and you say you can't understand. You know you work with emotion, and you know you change emotion. But the answer is, can you evaluate it? Well, I can, because I evaluate bioenergy fields. And we can tell even the quality of the kind of emotion that you have, whether it's a very primitive emotion, whether it's a very high and etheric emotion, whether it's a cosmic emotion, do you follow? And we can tell how strong it is. Is this a weak bugger? Or does this have strength and energy that makes things happen?
And you do this with your aura meter?
I can do it with the aura meter, yes, dear. I can show you the pattern of the aura meter that will show you the change in emotions.
Okay.
And this is much more dynamic than any of the biochemical things we have on emotion, or even the galvanic skin response of emotion. It's dynamic. It's sitting right there. Sometime you and I are going to research with that, and we'll have such a lovely time.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, we have a sound now that we can distort the perception of time, so I'm going to see if I can make some more time.
Check on my office, because my time is tied up with a lot of research, but we'll get together, Jerry. We'll get together.
Does this beginning of energy of the body start with conception?
I didn't hear the last statement, honey.
Does this initiation of this energy start at conception?
Yes. it starts at conception. There is a transaction that occurs between the fetus and the mother's field. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, you bring in, the soul brings in the information from past lifehoods. Now, I have proof of that. I have definite proof of that. And so the little fetus starts the transaction. Now, if the mother wants that baby and loves that baby, that baby comes in and wanted to come into the world, into a loving environment. Honey, the pregnancy is beautiful. If there's some problems with the mother, or if the baby came in with a lot of problems from another life, there's going to be some wrinkles. But the field and the pattern of the field is starting to be determined in utero. It has the experiences then of that, which are recorded in the mind field. It comes and has its birth. If this is a good and normal birth, there's no trauma. If this is a traumatic birth, the memory goes into the field first, eventually is transferred to the brain. So that memory then is in the brain. It's like registered in the computer.
Where is this energy before it enters the fetus?
I can't hear you.
Where is this energy before it enters the fetus? When you die...
Yes, I can tell you about the energy. The sperm and the egg cell have energy. Got it? And these, as they develop and increase, have energy. There's your energy for the field. That's your internal energy.
So,
the external energy is the mother's energy. It's not the outside world. It's the mother as she transacts with the outside energy.
So the genetic energy, the reincarnation energy, comes down through that physical lineage? So you're talking about reincarnation and the mother and energy coming into the fetus.
The energy comes into the fetus in the form of the soul. Now, you know, and this is written many times, that the soul generally does not enter the body at the conception. It comes in within the first trimester, and the mother generally knows about it. This has been well established scientifically. And when the mother knows about it, there is a change. She now knows she has a person and not just fetal cells. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And that little cell brings in, and the memories of past experiences are there, both the greatnesses and some of the problems come in with that soul. And now you have a human.
Does this come down through the mother's heritage and the father's heritage?
Not just heritage, honey. It's their field and what they have brought to it, because that's how they color. That's how they color the sperm and the egg. It carries that information. Heritage can be, for example, different races and different cultures, but the culture carries the information through the field. You got it?
Okay.
You can't get any information from the outside except through the field.
Okay, so does it enter through the mother's field and then to the egg? Can it ever...
Yeah, the mother has the field, and it's from her field into the egg. You got it?
Okay, but if I have a past life that I remember being a Chinese person and that's not in my genetics, how does that happen?
You remember being a Chinese person? Yes?
Well, I was just asking that as a hypothesis.
Yeah, you're giving me a hypothesis. I mean, you don't have to remember everything about being Chinese. You remember the things about being human and about some of the patterns that you learned in that, and some of those are ideal, and they determine some of your likes and dislikes in this world, but they are also changed by the experiences you have in this world.
Okay, we usually take questions. I'm going to give out the number here, so we'll be right back. Just a couple of numbers if you want to call and ask Dr. Hunt a question.
Yeah.
877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-815-9756. The direct line, 530-876-3222. And as okay. Don just let us know we won't be getting calls, so you guys can write to us at radio, R-A-D-I-O, at vocalprofiling.com. A lot of you do that. Anyway, I'll be monitoring that email, so if you have a question for Dr. Hunt, just go ahead and email us. Okay. Back to you, Dr. Hunt.
I wanted to say I love what you're doing, Tony, Sharon. I think this is so exciting and so dramatic. Because what you're doing is you're creating energy inside the body, which not only creates sound, but creates vibrations. And the vibrations inside the body are changing the field interaction in the body. You know this. This is better than just musical sounds, because the person is creating it, and as they change and they create it, it's the most dramatic thing that I think sound can do, is to be created by the person eventually. Created by the person, explored by the person, and changed.
And from the reading of this energy field, you've been able to tell a lot about disease of the person, right?
I know. I can tell. No, I don't know the disease of the person, Sherry. I know the source of the disease of the person.
Okay.
Let me tell you the difference. Diseases are classifications of symptoms and things that have happened in the body tissue. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I look for what is the disturbance in the entire field and the emotions which create the disturbance. Then we go to what is the genetic pattern, what is the weakness in tissue, what is the memory of that particular person, and that will determine the kind of disease. But we are finding, for example, that there is a unique and special pattern of cancer that is in the emotions and is in the field, and it has to do with they don't have enough low vibrations, they're not basic enough, they don't have enough strength in these, and this is why you've been successful many times in handling the symptoms of cancer, is because you give them some of those low vibrations. It will happen. And cancer is a low-vibrating system. It's like if you don't have it, you're going to create cancer to get it.
Good grief.
That's different than disease concept, isn't it?
This is incredible. So you can look at the root cause in combination.
Root cause, sweetheart. Then I give it to you people who are doing such fantastic work with the vibrations. Once we find the root cause, then instead of going after changing the symptoms, changing the disease as known by the symptoms, we go after the cause so that the person doesn't have to keep doing anything. Keep taking the vibrations. Keep taking the medicine. Keep doing something. Problem is handled, and they do it all by themselves.
This is a new medicine.
It is a new medicine, my dear. And when I called you this afternoon, I said, the research that I'm going into in the next months will change medicine.
How have people met your research so far? Because it's pretty dramatic.
You know, it is dramatic. But anyway, I'm a teacher, as you can see. And I know where they've been, and you know, this was my medical background. I'm a registered physical therapist, and I was in medical school. I changed my mind and got out of medical school to become an educator because I said they're going in the wrong direction. And so there are some people out there, and they are after me, who are people that realize that this is where we're going. I'm not going to fight the old cocks. We're stuck in that. I'm not going to fight the drug businesses. I'm going to say, I have another way of looking at it. Why don't you listen? And I will show you that changes occur, and the change is for permanent and not for just curing the symptoms, and you have to keep at it, because you know some of your people that don't keep at it regress.
Yes.
But the thing that you're doing, Sherry, I think there's nothing equal to it. I say this over the field. I think in terms of techniques of working with vibratory fields, you have the best.
Thank you. You know, Lynn McTaggart wrote a book called The Field, but what you're doing is so far beyond that field.
McTaggart was not a researcher. McTaggart does not have my consciousness, and McTaggart didn't have the experience. So what she did is compiled, and she brought good information. I know the book. She brought good information about the field, never applied it. She brought good information about physics, about quantums. But, honey, that's out there. I'm talking about the human being. This occurs in the human being. It's called bioenergy fields of a human. It is the transaction they make with the world. It is how they live.
In your book, Uncorking the Conscious,
yes,
you go so far beyond that and show people really how to use the field to change their life. Can you talk about that a bit?
And this is the way it has to happen. And in fact, you know, our education has led us the other direction. And I'm saying our human mind knows everything that's ever happened to us, knows where we made some mistakes. We don't have to crucify ourselves. Knows where we made mistakes. We can be our own guru. We can come into consciousness level that acquaints us with these. We can start change, and we can be evolved and with power.
We have about 10 minutes left. I want you to talk about your book. Where can they buy it?
What, you mean talk about my book?
Yes, where can they buy it? Where can they get in touch
with you? Let me tell you where you can buy it. I'll give you the website. It's bioenergyfields.org. And there's a whole thing in there. You can buy it by credit card. You can send a letter to me in Malibu Publishing. And this is full. I don't even know my own address. I'd rather you'd come by the computer. Or you can just put my name in, honey, in the computer. I'm well known.
Well,
my name, Dr. Valerie V. Hunt, and it will send you to my research section. It will send you to my publishing company, which I own, and it will send you to all the books and all the things that I'm writing. And I have DVDs on many subjects.
I just wanted our listeners to be able to have this information. I've been on your site. It's beautiful, and your picture there is beautiful. But I wanted to leave a lot of time for you to be able to tell people about your book and why it's important and what they can get out of it.
Okay. I'll start here. This is written for you. I'm a scientist, but I'm also a teacher. And I make things simple enough that we can understand us and the world in an entirely new way. We're not just a personality. We're a mind, and we're a field. And I start in by saying, the very, very first I say is, what is your basic reference in the world today? And it's your persona of whether you're male or female. This comes, and it's the most dramatic single orientation that we have in the world. And so I talk about this, and I don't talk negatively about it. I say, little girls come into the world, and they have a persona. That persona has a softness to it. It has a tenderness to it. It has a caringness to it. It wants to take care of little things. It wants to play with dolls. It wants to cook. And this happens everywhere in the world. And the male comes in programmed actually in the cell itself. Comes in, and he wants to protect. And he wants to build things. And as he becomes a man, he protects us. Goes to war. Women don't go to war, but unfortunately, sometimes overboard go to war. He builds houses. He brings in money to support his crew. And this is basic, basic orientation. And it is so good that I hope each one of us can enjoy. that part of what we came into the world with in our persona. And as we grow, I hope we can also change that. So it's not just the woman to have children and to nourish them and to care for them, to also, as they go on, create their own world about themselves and not have to hang on to their children, because this hanging on to children is most disastrous. And I help men as they go and grow in life and become the organizers and the arrangers. I hope they come to the point where they realize that when they retire, they have to be creative and they have to be more themselves. And so I have a whole chapter here to say, this is how we grow. This is the basic orientation emotionally that we have. And then, honey, I have a whole chapter on emotions. I don't talk about emotions like anybody talked about emotions. I have degrees in psychology. I have been psychoanalyzed. And none of those quite worked until I went into my own consciousness and went into higher states of consciousness and took a look at Valerie and her emotions. And the difference in the power of these emotions. And I am emotional. I am sound. I am clear. And I am free emotionally. I don't harm. I use the power of these emotions to change the world, to get things done, to love deeply, to be afraid when afraid is to be, so I protect myself. And I want you to look at emotions as dramatic and dynamic and good things, not things you have to control, put down, and be afraid of. And then I have a whole chapter on consciousness.
I love these titles, Majesty of Emotion, Effervescent Consciousness. Very nice ideas come with those words.
Then I come to spirituality. And I say that each human being, I've never seen one, even though I've worked with agnostics and atheists, that if I can get them into the higher state of consciousness with vibrations, they have a spiritual experience. Now, I don't care what their spiritual experience is. I don't care if it has the quality of the Buddhic or any of the religious groups. I don't want them to get caught in the dogma. I want them to have an experience that knows there is something bigger and beyond what I can sense ordinarily, and it's profound. People call it angels. People call it God. People call it forever. I don't care what you call it. It is one of the most peaceful and blissful states. And it's a state I hope people come to, Sherry, where they become human and divine simultaneously. Because we are here with that spirit to manifest it on earth and to enjoy it. And so I go through all of this, and then I come to one where I talk about lifehoods. And I don't talk about them in the way lifehoods have ever been talked about before. I have lectured extensively on past lives. I open the mind field to people so that they can recover their past lives. It's very easy. When you go into higher consciousness and you stay grounded, you will find that these experiences come through profoundly. Sometimes you have to have a helper because sometimes they're very emotional. But you will learn something about some of the likes and dislikes that you have in this life, based upon some of the things that were great in other lives. And then the last chapter is the one I want each one to pay attention to. It's called, Ask Yourself the Question and Contemplate. I didn't say go meditate, because meditation many times takes us into other states of consciousness, and it does not change ourselves. It gives us relief and surcease and higher information, and sometimes it's creative, but it doesn't make us evolve. And I want us to evolve. So from every chapter, I've written a whole bunch of questions that you ask you. You just read them. And don't do anything but just read the questions. Then read them for the next chapter and keep going for all the chapters. You read the questions. And you see which chapter questions excite you the most. stimulate you. You want to play with that. So you go to that chapter first. You go down all the questions, and you see which one you want to ask yourself first. You stick with that question, and you ask yourself, but you don't ask yourself to be conscious and intellectually solve that problem. You just say, I wonder why. You go about your business, and if you ask that question, pretty soon the information will come from the mind because you have all the information about it. So this is how you become your own guru, and you change in consciousness, and you start your evolution, and you feel empowered in doing it.
Do you think this information about our own field and our own intention and programming our own life, do you think this is something we had and we lost and we're just now coming back to?
Well, I mean, we lost it because of several things. We have built society around protecting ourselves, and protecting ourselves from stress and from strain. And in that process, we also have lost our uniqueness and our individuality. And I think Americans today are coming to this level. And they're saying, the problem of the world is a problem of consciousness. And we have to come to these levels. We have to be able to have these insights. And I think the new president has given us this information.
Well, there's an article that you sent me about lost chords found. Is this about the integration of the old and the new?
Yes. Lost chords found.
Is that on your website?
I think I took it off.
Okay.
I took it off because it was old.
Is this about people using this to reach in inside themselves and not only program what they want, but to help their own health, to reach out to what they want to solve in their lives?
Yeah, it's the way in which we become the masters of our fate. We become the person who, the human who decides these things. It isn't outside of us. It's not the brain. It's not the culture. We are the ones that make the decision. And we should make them in the highest level of consciousness we can make them. And this makes life rich. And I expect, I'm 92 now, I'm starting some of my most basic research, and I'm healthy and happy.
I'm wondering through all the centuries that humans have lived, how we lost this and why it hasn't always been with us in a conscious way.
I'll tell you, some of the ancient gurus had some of the higher consciousness, but they don't have the capacity to use the mind as we do today. Remember, we have developed the human mind beyond what anybody has ever known. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
We're able to solve problems and handle things, and this is a part of us, too. It is not we lost it. We've taken another direction, and now with that direction, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to go back and be primitive farmers. We don't want to go back and have to shoot the animals. We want to live in this society, but we also want the other, which is the consciousness and the spirituality and the greatness which we're coming to. And I think we are now in the most evolutionary change that culture has had in many, many, many centuries.
We are out of time, Dr. Hunt. Thank you for being with us. We will certainly want to know more about you and your research, and we'll keep tabs on that. And thank you, audience, for being with us on VBS Radio and Sound Health. Hope you can join us next week.